Hello, everyone. The Black creators I would like to support this week are the cast of the Three Black Halflings podcast. They run a discussion podcast about Dungeons and Dragons. It features Unati Lewis Niao, Jasper Cartwright, and Jeremy Cobb. They discuss how each of them likes to run D&D games, as well as some of the fun experiences or challenging experiences they've faced in D&D, and how some of these things apply to their lives as Black individuals. It's a very enlightening podcast to listen to, in addition to being incredibly entertaining. I seriously binged the first 7 episodes in about 2 days just because I couldn't get enough of it. They are a riot, and I highly recommend you go listen. They don't currently have a way to financially support the show, but if they at some point do, I will be one of the first to hop on there, and I will let the world know about it as well. So for now, if you're able, please go give them a listen and maybe write them on Apple Podcasts as well if you have the time. Thank you, and please enjoy the show. Previously on SCP Play.
Hi, how can I help you?
Yeah, we're looking for a package that might have been delivered here. Have you guys seen anything like that?
No, I don't think so.
I can read people's thoughts.
Can't talk here. She looks so much like her.
Miles just opens the flap and rolls on in.
You're hit with the dank.
If you're just sitting here all alone, we can hang.
We getting deep today. Started swimming. I just ran into like this huge like sea serpent thing. We have the heart. Oh, the dread behemoth. Yeah, it's just giant, but again, serpent thing is bigger. And he takes its heart and it still like beats to this day. And whenever you're around it, it's like hard to hear anything. I only want to talk to Anyas.
Yeah, I think I'll be fine.
I think your sister might be in trouble. I think I have to go.
The figure that is on top of the ball is lanky and misshapen, and the ball is another clown. And they begin to roll your way. So, Ben, when we last left off, there was a very lanky, wiry-framed clown, unnaturally so, atop a very bulbous, ball-shaped clown. The two of them were rolling towards you, and you see a girl has been begun to be dragged off by another clown. But neither the girl nor the mother seem to think that there is anything wrong with this. What do you do?
Great question, Kenneth.
You may take your time if you so wish.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take my time.
This is bullet time for Ben. Everything's slowed down. So, if you're having a bit of trouble...
No, I have decided what I want to do. So, I am going to just try to... spin move around the clowns coming towards me, not actually, but, you know, metaphorically, and try to protect someone by trying to get the girl back to her mom.
Okay. Yeah. I think that fits the bill. So, go ahead and roll plus tough.
Okay, I have plus one to tough, so... Oh, God. I leveled up, guys.
Yay.
Yay.
Snake eyes plus one. It's a 3.
Yay.
Oh,
yay.
Man, that is not a good roll.
I shouldn't have rolled before we started. I got a 10 before we started.
You wasted it.
Cool. So, on a fail for protect someone,
Christ.
It says, on a miss, then you end up making things worse.
Oh, God.
Oh no.
No, Ben!
You end up making things worse. Okay. So, oof.
Have fun figuring this one out.
Uh-huh. I think, I mean, no matter what failure I decide to take here, I think it will make the general situation worse.
Yeah.
But I think for this, it's making things specifically worse. So I think that... So you try to run up to the ball-mounted clown. The clown ball-mounted clown? Yeah, the clown ball-mounted clown.
Yeah.
And you try to do a spin move, but you never really did, like, football.
It was a metaphorical spin move.
Yeah, so you try to do, like, a little juke and then a spin, but then you, like, trip over your own shoe. So you... God. You run into the clown that was on top of the ball clown, and the ball clown, you land on top of, but it goes shooting out, and hits a bystander kid in the face.
Oh God.
And the entire crowd turns towards you, and they are very confused as to why you just tackled this clown. They begin to move around you and say, "Hey, get off of him! He's just a clown, man. Get over, let him go. You hurt this kid."
Yeah, you hit me in the face.
This is so embarrassing.
They're all like yelling at you, like, "Hey, get away!" And the clown that you have essentially tackled. You are on top of, he leans in towards you and says, "You better listen to the crowd. You really should get out of here."
So I am not gonna try to cause any more commotion than I already have and just get up and move away, but keep an eye on the girl. What's happening with her?
In the confusion of tackling this other clown and the crowd thus surrounding you, you can no longer see the little girl.
Great. Awesome.
So you start to move away from the crowd. They are like somewhat surging towards you to make sure that you are like leaving this clown alone. And you walk off. Do you have a general direction that you're heading towards?
If there is the parade, it's a parade. Are they moving in a general direction, like a line? Are they going in like a line?
So they are sort of circling around the park. When I first described the map of the park, I described the general spiraling inward around the entirety of the park. They kind of look like they are on this route.
Okay, I'm going to move up, like, I'm going to jog up, like, a few yards and see if I see anything new. But if I don't, I'm just going to head back to the tent where Anya's is.
So the next section, I'll say that you move forward and there's, like, some boxes that are set up of, like, we're moving supplies throughout the park. You can just kind of climb up on these boxes and see a bit of what's in your immediate surroundings. So you are around like the edge of the entrance area to like the water feature area, and to the next area that you are going to enter is the amusement area of like amusement park rides. Like this is where the Ferris wheel, the spinny top, like egg carriage type thing is at. There's a couple like mini roller coasters. There's nothing like giant that you'd see at like Six Flags or anything, just because they have an inherent danger to them and are not very conducive to a traveling circus. But they have like one of those, what's the one that like is a UFO that spins really quick and then you're like stuck up against the wall?
The Tilt-A-World?
Gravitron.
Gravitron?
Yeah, the Gravitron, that's it. Yeah, there's a Gravitron there that, and that one is getting, that has like the longest line. So like, if you did decide to like try to ride on a few rides, if you tried to go on that one, I think like you wouldn't be able to get there by the end of the day. So it's like, I don't think you can really get through on that one. And then the area that you just came from is the like cheap games section. And then always inward is the big top tent, the giant red hood that is constantly on the horizon of your vision.
Yeah, so he's just going to follow it for like a few yards and see if he can catch a glimpse of the girl anywhere. And if he can't, he's just going to, he's not going to try to go too far away from his group. So he's going to go back to Anya's.
So I think that the clowns are now very wary of you. The lanky one and the bald one, recognizing that you could now perceive what is happening. Those two are continuing along on this spiraling path. But those two are keeping a constant eye locked onto you to make sure that you don't try to do anything. They haven't tried to take anyone else or harm anyone else for the next 100 feet or so that you're walking along. I don't know how far you're thinking of going.
Yeah, like a few yards, I said. Not super
just
long.
Just a few yards?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so they don't try anything, but those two clowns keep a constant eye on you as they begin to walk away. So, next, let's... while this is going on with Ben, let's jump over to Ned and Miles. So you two just finished hanging out with the Fishman of Manasquan. Ned, you still have the plus one to cool and the minus one to...
Sharp.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. Thank you. So you two just exited his trailer, and I think that you knew that your companions were at the Nereid trailer, but I don't know that you knew they were going to go to the Heart. So what's your next move? What would be the logical step here?
Ned, I guess we should... you seem a little out of it, but you seem cool as heck. I think we should... Hey Kenneth, do we hear commotion? Because we're not that far away, right?
You might hear like I think that there is a bit of like music being played as well as the parade goes by here, but it sounds more distant. I think that it's not something that particularly would stand out over the sounds of a circus.
Right. Okay. But we don't hear like the people yelling at Benji or anything. So
I would say, like, not yet. I think that your timelines are slightly different at the moment.
Okay.
I think you will catch up to them eventually.
Okay. I mean, I guess we should go catch up with Benji and Agnes over at the Nereids, or... I don't know, if you think they're done there, that maybe they went to the Heart of the Dread Behemoth or whatever, but... Like I said, that thing sounds gross, so... Where do you think we should go check for him?
Yeah, that Heart, he had a pretty cool story for that. Sounds kind of trippy. Okay. But, the other two, where would they be at?
Real quick, kind of as an aside,
sure.
I don't remember what I know and what Miles knows. Did the Fishman of Manasquan, did he mention that what's-his-butt Manny can't hear what's going on around the Heart? Did he tell us that?
Yes, he did. Okay. He mentioned that that was a spot that he liked to go to tap into some of his more risque supply.
Okay. I don't know if that's the word for it, but...
I mean, I hope not, risky around Manny, that would be.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like maybe we should go check out the Heart thing, though, because it might be good to have a place to sort of set up a base of operations where we won't be found?
Yeah, he said that you can't hear much around the heart. There's some sort of memetics.
Yeah,
it's so loud. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go, buddy. And I think Miles is gonna like take Ned's hand and like slowly like ease him towards the heart.
So as you two start heading off towards the heart, sorry, Daniel, did you want to say something?
No, I was just gonna add the little bit of flavor that he's probably just kind of being led and looking around at all the bright colors that he's maybe really noticing for the first time here at the circus, at this carnival.
Man, he didn't just smoke weed, did he?
Yeah, there's probably like some other stuff in there too. Who knows?
So as you two are walking back towards the trailer of the Nereid and the tent where the heart is being kept are pretty much right next to each other, so you have to head generally back the same direction that you came. And you're passing by the overlooking area for the large pool that's part of the main water feature area that you're in. That's where they have like their main water shows that are going on. And that's where, when you first walked up, the Nereids were having their synchronized swimming when you first walked up. And this is also where you saw the very large seal that was very chonky and adorable and had a big old snoot. And the side that you're walking by currently also has the holding area for where the seal is kept. It's a very large, spacey area. And open for people to look down into and see this very large seal. And at the edge of this sort of observation area, you see two young boys are standing at the edge and sort of yelling and mocking and sending general gawks towards the seal. And you don't see any staff of sorts around. And Ned, you recognize these two people. These are the two bullies of your school. Do you have names for what they would be called?
Names.
Swirler and Swirly, because they're the ones who gave you the swirly.
That is, shoot. There's a pivotal moment here. We got to decide exactly what their awesome names are.
I can do random asshole name generator if you want.
Chad and Mike.
Chad and Mike.
They could be Chad and Brad. I don't want to alienate any of our listeners who might be Chads or Mikes. I'm sure you guys
are
lovely
people. Every
Chad
who's listening.
We need to pull up a list of common names in Djibouti, I believe. Because we know that
I don't know if I'm
going
to be able to
be
pronounce
listening.
Those.
Good point.
That is true. I'm good with Chad Chadley and Brad Bradson.
Ooh, okay.
That's
so
dangerously
Chad
close to Brad Bradshaw.
Yeah, very close to Brad Bradshaw.
Okay, so it's Chad Chadley and Brad Bradshaw. Those are your two bullies. So Brad and Chad are they're yelling down profanities at the seal, and you notice, Ned, a slight glint is coming from the neck of one of these individuals. We'll say it's Brad. And Glitz. Something rings in your head of the Horde. The Horde.
Comes from his neck?
Yes.
Interesting.
Like, so he's wearing a necklace?
Yeah.
Yes, that's it would be akin to a necklace.
He doesn't have a golden neck.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking for a second. Okay. So what Ned's going to do, he's going to kind of like grab Miles' arm with his other arm, because he's being pulled along.
Be like, hey, what's up, Ned?
Hold up a minute. I gotta look at this seal.
Beep, 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 beep. Angry beeps are coming from your bag.
Angry beeps?
These are fighting beeps. Beep, 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 beep.
Angry,
beep.
Oh boy, those are some angry beeps. Hey,
beep.
Miles, do you hear that too?
Yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
Are your buddies all right?
Yeah.
Beep.
Let's take this.
He's gonna pull off his backpack, and we're gonna unzip it, and we're gonna throw little buddies onto the ground.
So as soon as you set the two little buddies onto the ground, I think this is the first time that Miles would have seen them.
Probably.
Yeah. Because I think the only person who would have actually seen them was Dr. Miller, as she was helping you get through the wall out of 106's pocket dimension.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think they probably would have gone straight back into your bag.
And so, can we just say so that, what you see...
Real quick, can we just say that Dr. Miller told Miles about them, that they were just there? So that it makes sense that he just said, hey, I think your little buddies are mad.
Sure. I think that, like, there would have been some mention of them at some point.
At the very least, I know about them. I just haven't seen them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you wanted, we could say that Ned also just, like, took them out when they were all waiting for the, what was it? The seminar to start, if you wanted. But that's sort of retconning a little bit, so I'll leave it up to you, Dan.
You can't take this from me. This is the big reveal of the little buddies that he's so haphazardly throwing out here.
Okay. Yeah, so you've never seen him before.
Okay.
What you see as Ned lets go of your arm, or you let go of Ned's arm, is he pulls off his Dora the Explorer backpack, which he always wears, you know, religiously, and he sets it on the ground, unzips it, and out roll these two little balls they look like. Let's see. What do they look
like?
They
are,
like this microphone
shaped
that I have with, about teardrop shaped, I guess, on the top. And they have what appears to be a small little wheel at the bottom of it, and then an eyeball in the front.
Nay.
And, as they get on the ground, they start scooting around a little bit.
Beep, 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 beep.
They start beeping very quickly. And in kind of a concerned manner.
Ned, they're so cute. I love them. Do you have names for them?
I've been trying to get
I'm going to name this one Spot, and I'm going to name this one Rover.
Their eyes are like sheepishly closed at you, just like disapproving of the name that you just gave.
Miles doesn't register that. They are Spot and Rover now.
Yeah, I mean, like, I tried to name them before, but they got mad, and I tried to figure out what their names are. They won't tell me, though.
Beep, beep.
Well, then you have to assign them. It's just like a cat. How do the little buddies react to that?
As much as, like, a shrug you can give as while being on like a singular wheel, it's like a short like forward and back.
I mean, you don't ask a cat what its name is, you just name it and then it learns, right, Spot?
All
right, well, we're still working on it, but we'll get there.
We'll figure it out later, but yeah, I figured I'd take him out and see what they had to do.
Beep, 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 beep. So they do a quick circle around Ned, and they start zooming off towards the two bullies who are at the balcony. They have started, one of them is still yelling down at the big old seal, and the other one is leaning over to, like, scoop up some mud to, you assume, toss at the seal. And as he's bending over, the little buddies ram right into his butt and knock him over and start angrily beeping at him. Beep, 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 beep.
Hey, Ned, should we be letting
hey, come on, let's go over there.
People see them?
Let's go on. There's plenty of crazy stuff Miles at this carnival.
He's ready to sprint after Ned.
Yep, we're going.
Who?
Ned's
it's important
going.
To note, Ned might have a leg up on these bullies now that he's got his extra cool buff.
Exactly.
All right, yeah, we sprint over there. I think I let Ned lead.
When bully number one, we'll say Brad, is knocked over, Chad turns around and immediately is like,
hey, what the hell are these little race car things? They knocked over my buddy. What the hell?
So he starts trying to like kick at the little buddies, but they're zooming around too quick and they're not able to hit him. What would your action be here? You're able to get up to them and either say something or make an action to try to resolve the situation.
Okay, so I'm running up and they're like kicking at them, right?
It's like kicking but whiffing completely, so like almost falling over.
Okay, right. That sounds good. So, let's see. The other guy's on the ground. So we're gonna run up to them and we're gonna say,
hey! What are you guys doing kicking those little things?
Yeah, those are my remote control race cars.
You little punk, you pushed your cars into Brad.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah. What's your problem, man?
Brad is on the ground and sniffles and like quickly wipes away a little tear so you can't see.
I'm really sorry. Here, can I help you up? And I'm going to offer a hand to Brad to help him up.
Brad like bats your hand away and he's just like,
I don't want your help. You knocked me over. Who are you punks anyway?
I mean, no, we're just going to the circus like uses. You didn't have to mess with my friend's stuff here.
Your friend's stuff messed with me.
Oh. I'm really sorry. I think they lost signal or something in the crowd. I really didn't mean to.
And as you say this, the two little buddies ram again into like his ankle. It doesn't knock him over, but it like hurts.
I'm still losing connection. I don't know what's going on.
I motion to the little buddies in like a come here gesture.
They ignore you and angrily circle around Brad and are beeping urgently.
Damn, I had a great plan.
I'm gonna mutter out of the corner of my mouth, Ned, I don't think they're gonna let us go until we get that necklace.
So I'm gonna yell at Brad, hey, get off of him! What are you doing? You're gonna break him if you step on him!
I'll break you if I want to. You keep rabbing them into me.
We're gonna try and push Ned over. That's what we're gonna do. Wait, I'm Ned. Brad.
Ned pushes himself over. Congratulations.
Ned pushes himself over.
He's just getting on level with Brad. That's all.
We're cool. I know these guys. They've been messing with me. We're gonna try and mess with them.
All right. What are you doing?
I guess, let's see, so what is the goal here? Okay, I will describe my course of action. So, what I wish to do here is I'm going to try and run up and push Brad over with the little buddies. They're like circling around his feet and kind of knocking him off balance and stuff, right?
Right.
And then, when he's on the ground and I'm right next to him, I'm going to try and grab the necklace off and run away.
Okay, so I think that this is a high pressure situation. I don't think that you're like trying to physically like kick some ass here. So I think that this would be an act under pressure. So go ahead and roll plus cool.
All right. Sounds good. As Ned rushes forward, pushing fast, his heart beating. We'll try this. And that is a 3 and a 4 is 7 plus 2 is 9.
And you can have Miles help you out here?
Yeah, Miles is going to, so Ned's trying to sort of get this off of him. Miles is going to be chasing after the little buddies, but like kind of like be like bumping around the guys around Brad's feet to try to distract him from what's going on at Brad's head. You feel?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
That checks out. So, help out. I'll Do you roll. Have the feat that you, oh, you have to roll.
It's okay. That's only when fighting a monster. So I do have to roll for help out.
Okay.
That is an 8 plus cool. 1, 9.
Okay. Yeah. So, you add 1 to the roll. It exposes you to trouble or danger. I don't think there's a whole lot of danger to be had here. I think you are able to do as you were trying to, as you described. You push Brad over, and you are able to swiftly grab the necklace. And as soon as you have your hands on it, the little buddies start zooming away in preparation for fleeing from this situation. I think Chad is just a bit dumbstruck, and as you two start running away, Chad like picks up a clump of dirt and tries to throw it at you. It does hit Miles, but it's fairly harmless. I don't think it even does any damage to you, but your shirt is like a little bit muddy now.
Aw, man, this is my cardinal shirt.
Hey, let's get out of here.
I'll have to have Mr. Clark wash it when I get back. That's all right. And I sprint after Ned.
Cool.
The amazing, so great two escape.
Sprint off in the direction back towards the Nereid trailer. And
yeah, I think you're still trying to get over
tent
there.
Of the heart. I think while this is going on, this is about the time where Ben was being not so pleasantly introduced to the clowns.
Oh, no.
And I think by the time you reach this area, Ben has just finished watching the clown procession continue onward. So you have now met back up with Ben.
And we arrive at Ben just like sprinting and panting, running away from these other guys.
Perfect.
And I'm holding, what is this in my hand? Is this like a gold chain necklace with an emblem on it or something?
So as you were picking out your items, the item that Ned chose in the SCP sales catalog, this was a weird one, but your ancestor was calling you to pick it. So this is the Hoard of Toeidnak. The Hoard of Toeidnak is, you could have easily historically looked this up, so it is a Cornish hoard of, I say hoard, it sounds like it's a huge amount of gold, but the big deal with it is that it's so old. So it is the listed items are 2 twisted neck rings, 4 arm rings, and 2 lengths of unfinished gold rod is the what the hoard consists of. But the weird thing about this is it's from estimated to be from the Bronze Age. So these are very old gold pieces that are a bit weird. Like the quality of them is very surprising for the time in which they are supposed to have been made. So the thing that you have just pulled off of your bully is one of the neck rings. So you now have that in your possession.
Awesome. Great. So it's like a twisted neck ring then.
Yes. It's very like high quality gold. It's very fairly flawless. It doesn't have a whole lot of impurities in it at all, and it's pretty well crafted as well. It is a twisted gold neck ring.
Great. Okay, so we get up to Ben. We go, Ben.
What happened? Are you guys okay?
Are they following us?
I think they're following us. I think we got away.
I think you do not Ned see them just robbed you. Someone, and I might have helped him.
What do you guys do?
But it was exciting, and we got away with it.
And then you see, like driving up behind Ned and Miles are these two little teardrop-shaped, multicolored, like, eyeball things that are just zooming along the ground, little trail of dust rising up behind them.
Are those the things that have been beeping this entire goddamn time?
Oh, yeah. Those are my little buddies. But more importantly, right now, I got this ring, and I hold it up in my fist. I think this is my destiny.
Oh. Was that your item that you ordered?
Come to think of it, I think this is only part of it. But yes.
Sounds like destiny to me.
This is my destiny right here.
Destiny, that's definitely what it is.
And he puts it on his own neck.
Okay. There are no apparent effects from putting it on, but it is a pleasant fit. It fits your neck quite nicely.
Wow, great.
There we go. I'm one of those upper middle class now, eh?
You look great, Ned.
Hey, thanks, kid. Well, let's get you guys back in here. We probably shouldn't have too many people looking out for you.
As he takes off his Dora the Explorer backpack and corrals the little buddies back into it so that they can look out the two eye holes of the backpack.
Perfect. I think Ben might be able to smell the weed on Ned.
Oh, yeah. And he's acting much cooler than normal. You went to college. You know what weed smell is.
Yeah. So, did you have a good time, Ned?
Oh, yeah. We took a bunch of notes. We met a fish man. He had the dread behemoth. Yeah. Eldritch Horror, he killed with a big harpoon. Talked about memetics and hearts and there's some other stuff too, but we won't get into that. It's not important.
Right.
But yeah, this heart, it's a great place. He said there's
he leans in close,
memetics.
I heard you the first time.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look back at the tent where Anyas is. She still in there? What's going on there?
She has, not exited the tent just yet. So, let's go ahead and see what has gone on with Anyas this whole time. Hello everyone, this is your Keeper Kenneth here with your semi-regular mid-roll announcements. So, in the past couple weeks, we've had some art that you should go check out on either our Twitter or Instagram. We had a commissioned piece from Mal. They did an incredible job. It is of a certain Herman Fuller, and if you would go take the time to check that out, maybe drop a like if you enjoy, we'd appreciate it. And much thank you to Mal. There's also another piece of art that you should go check out. One Pip Astro Bailey created a piece of art based on Herman Fuller's circus while listening to our show. So thank you for sharing us and glad we could influence your SCP work. Check out our tags on Instagram to go and find that and drop it a like too. We are at @SCP_play at Instagram or Twitter, so go check us out if you haven't already. With no new reviews for this week, we have only to thank Michael Winton for the wonderful music, and hope you enjoy the rest of the show. So, Anyas, where we left you, Trixie had just left You alone, after learning that you do not remember your sister, you can probably infer that she may have some trust issues about this whole thing in general. You are still in the tent, in front of the heart of the behemoth, of the dread behemoth, rather. It still beats loudly. It has the same effect that I described previously, where it's hard to hear or focus on anything else other than the loud pressure of this beat in your ear. When suddenly there's silence, and the heart you look at, it still visually looks like it is beating. You may remember when you first met with Herman Fuller how you did not hear the alarms of Site 44 during your conversation. Upon having this thought cross your mind, you spin around, and Herman Fuller has joined you in this tent and is standing behind you.
Ah, Miss Agnes, what a shame, indeed. Ah, if only you had accepted my previous offer to learn more about your sister, young Trixie would have had no issues having a deeper conversation on this issue. How have you been? It's been so long. Only about 12 hours, but regardless.
Things would be going better if people weren't as secretive around here.
Ah, yes, that is one of the issues with my circus, is it not? Everyone seems to mistrust each other, but it is quite effective at keeping certain parts from getting out. I mean, if the whole world knew how certain things are run here, then they may not be as inclined to come visit. But I digress. So, let's not focus on what could have been with your conversation with Trixie. Let's focus on the now. My offer still stands. If you want to know more about your sister, I can do what I am able to alleviate some of your amnesia. But I need you to do something for me in return. And I must ensure your cooperation as well. Would you be interested in this, or are you still too reluctant?
I don't suppose you're willing to provide any more information regarding this task.
Well, let's have a discussion.
He, a fancy-looking chair, it's well-padded and is a large red armrest chair with very comfortable padding on it, manifests next to him, and he fancily sits down and manifests another chair across from him, offering for you to sit as well.
Okay, I join him and I sit down.
So, what do you need to know from me in order for us to make a deal?
I just want to make sure that I'm not getting myself into a situation where I'm having to work for you forever, like these people here at the circus.
Oh, no, 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 no. This is a very temporary operation. See, my only real deep desire within the circus here is, how should I word this? I want to continue to run a circus. I want to retake control here, and I want to live out the rest of my life. Hopefully a long one. I want to live it out, continuing to entertain the world.
but I need to have control of my circus and my people in order to do so. All I ask is that you assist me in helping to retake my circus.
All right, I have one more question before I make my decision. You seem to know that I have amnesia when I didn't even know. So do you also know the source of my amnesia? And would you be willing to tell me that as well?
That is a tricky one. So I have many capabilities. I will be honest with you, I will not be able to restore your memory fully, but I can tell that you have been administered some sort of amnestic. This is a nasty little treat. It is able to selectively clear your mind of certain events, people, whatever the user of this amnestic desires. It can come in a pill format, a shot, or, oh, you can get as fancy as the Men in Black movies where they have those little flashy pens. Those are fun. But there are many different ways that these are manufactured. The particular one that I can tell that you have been given The reason I can tell is I've had some experience with the deep. He motions to the heart of the dread behemoth behind you. I seek to add many different features to my circus, and I've hunted down many different creatures, people, freaks. Some I regret bringing in, but some I was also not able to wrangle. I am somewhat associated. I have made a small introduction to the creature that has been able to affect your mind in this way. I do not know by what vehicle it has affected your mind, but there is a certain creature that stretches across the bottom of the ocean. In Indian culture, it is known as Anantasesha. It is a great serpent, and it secretes a certain fluid that is particularly potent at erasing memories. If you manage to get that deep into the ocean, simply being in its presence, you will forget all of who you are. But if this fluid is taken elsewhere, it can be used selectively as an amnestic. Again, I do not know by what vehicle it has wound up in your system, but it is there nonetheless. I'm not able to fully counteract it because it is quite powerful, but I can open a few gaps in between the coil that it has around your mind. With time, you may remember everything, but for the moment, you can only remember so much. Now, I believe I have answered all of your questions. Now, do we have a deal?
Fine. On the condition that once I finish with this task, I am resolved from any obligations from you, then yeah, I agree.
Excellent. Now, all that I need to ensure that you hold up your end of the bargain is a little bit of blood.
All right, we're going.
You don't have to draw it yourself. Hold on. I have an idea. This will be fun. Just wait. The blood has to just be given with consent. So just say yes, you give your consent.
Okay, yes, I give my consent.
I'll be right back.
He runs behind his chair, and you hear the sound of a portal opening. So he's gone for maybe like 20 seconds or so, and then reappears from back behind the chair. and you feel slightly lightheaded and see that he is holding a small paper cup, and you can see a little label on the side that says, "Cup of Half Harpy Blood." And you may remember that someone can enter any fluid into a certain vending machine, and it will vend out. Herman Fuller raises his cup to you.
Cheers, Miss Agnes. To your memory and to a grand partnership.
And he drinks your blood.
Oh!
That's nasty.
Tasty.
So, Jordan, as Herman Fuller drinks this cup, you realize that there has been a pressure on your mind. It has felt like there has been a rope or chains or a coiling serpent that has wrapped around your mind and prevented certain information from getting into it, or from you being able to pull that memory out and realize something. You remember your sister. You aren't able to remember a whole lot about her, but do you have a name that you would like to have for your sister?
How about Magnolia?
Okay. Yeah. I like that name. You remember your sister. Her name is Magnolia. You're not able to remember a whole lot about her, but you realize one of the memories that you hold very fondly, the memory of your mother teaching you to fly, it wasn't your mother. It was Magnolia. And you remember that something happened with her that caused her to run away from your flock. You don't remember why, but you remember that the being that came looking for her is what caused your family to relocate to Piedmont, Missouri. And as these memories begin to come back to you, the coil on your mind, realizing that a string has been pulled in order to let some of this information leak to you, begins to coil tighter. And your vision begins to blur as Herman Fuller steps into a rift. And with a wry smile, disappears. All content relating to the SCP Foundation, including the SCP Foundation logo, is licensed under the Creative Commons Sharealike 3.0, and all concepts originate from the SCP Wiki and its authors. Please see scp-wiki.net for all the original content. For all SCPs used and referenced within our episodes, please see our page on the SCP Foundation Wiki. You can find us at scp-wiki.net/scp-play-podcast-hub, which is also linked on our anchor page. Thank you to Michael Winton for all the music that we use in our show, and thank you for listening.